Welcome to Highway Diary, episode, I think it's 138 or something like that. Jason Dormandy.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good, man. So, boy, this has been a long time coming, right? Probably we've been thinking about doing this for almost 6 months or something, where I was like, hey, maybe we should do that sometime.
Yeah, I have trouble pulling the trigger in life sometimes.
You're married, though, right?
Yeah, wife doesn't like it too much, but you
that's
know.
Why you're gun shy. So now you know the consequences being a married person, what pulling the trigger does.
Yeah, it's all right though. It's all right.
Next trigger pull is going to be blowing your brains out, right?
No, so, happy to be here. Happy to have my consciousness recorded forever, so I can look back on it.
Yeah, what you think right now, a couple beers in, will for posterity always be what the record shows.
Right.
So you told me you're going to court soon. Going to court.
No, I went to court. You told me you were going to court.
I'm going in the future. Okay, and what happened?
I wanted to, you know, share my experience and give you some advice.
You got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, I got pulled over on the interstate doing 91 to 70.
Okay.
By a LaPlace, like St. Charles Parish Sheriff.
Oh, big guy. Seemed
like a nice guy on steroids or something. yeah, you know, went to court the first time. And I had a few interactions with speeding tickets before and always kind of interest me. And after I got this one, I just decided that this is the one that I'm going to go and fight.
Right.
And I'm going to research whatever I can to go and fight it. So that's what I did, you know, like every millennial researcher does. You go to the YouTube and you find, you know, whatever information you need that's going to go lend to your life in a positive manner. So I did that. I went up and showed up to the first court date. They called my name. I went up and the assistant district attorney asked me if I wanted to plead down to a non-moving violation, and I said, it sounds like you're asking me to commit perjury. Are you asking me to enter into a contract? Because let me know, because I want to know the terms before I enter into anything. And he just said, sit down, we'll issue you a court date. So I went back like 30 days later, and of course they like had my name highlighted or something. They made me wait like 3 hours. I was the last person in the courtroom.
You know some legal words. Yeah, this guy could be trouble.
We don't want anybody hearing what this guy has to say.
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not.
He watched YouTube. Yeah. Oh, that's our kryptonite.
They've only got dial-up internet at the converted cafeteria that is a community center that is a St. Charles Parish courthouse.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, so I went and, you know, last person in there, and they called my name. I didn't get up. They called my name again. I didn't get up. I'm the only fucking person in there. The dude called my name the third time. I stand up. I say, I'm here about the matter. So I walk up.
That was just you being like, I'll work on my time. That was more of a power move?
Yeah, so the attorney is like, you know, they're calling you up. And if you just say, yeah, that's me. A lot of times, like, a person going into the courtroom doesn't know what it is. And I'm not really sure if my, like, what I used is true or not. But, you know, I'm going to, spoiler alert, it worked on the day, you know? So, I believed that it was true at the time. I think that's what, you know, kind of Jedi mind tricked them into letting me off for it. But, the one thing that the theory that I researched shows is that there's a difference between, like, the human person and the corporate person.
Whoa.
And so that lends to, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that corporations are people and can give dollars as part of free speech to, you know, campaign contributions. So that was very interesting to me. I looked into it a little bit more and, you know, brushed up and practiced what I was going to say and stuff. And, you know, so the attorney says, is this you, Jason Dormandy? And I was like, no, that's not me. My friends call me Jason, but that's not how I spell my name. It's not in all capital letters. That's in capitis diminutio maxima.
Whoa.
Which is like a Latin term for like this Roman state of being like less than a citizen. And he was like, what do you mean, this isn't your date of birth?
Did he shapeshift into a lizard at that moment? No. You caught him.
No, if he did,
with
I didn't.
Your wizard, if your he did, legal I didn't notice. Magic yeah. words. Maybe all, just his eyes slitted sideways.
For all we know, this is just a guy that pretends to be a lizard on a daily basis. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
No, so he asked me what my date of birth was, and I was like, I don't know what you mean by birth. Are we talking about ships pulling into port? That looks like my date of genesis. So, like, do you know that there's, like, a whole dictionary that's separate from, like, Webster and Merriam and shit, like, just for legal words?
Right.
It's called Black's Law.
Black's Law?
I think it's what it's called. It's called, like, Black's Law Dictionary or something okay. like that. Regular words in English mean something completely different.
Right. In,
like, they call it legalese. Is like,
sure.
You know? So, the theory behind that is, like, they want to create a joinder. Like, so everybody's got a social security number. Everybody's a ward of the state. That's why, like, your mother's maiden name is on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're owned by the state. You register your car with the state. They, like, Regis has, you know, in etymology, has, like, a like regal. Like, it belongs to the king.
Mm-hmm.
So you are, like, your corporate personhood is tied to all these laws. Like, that's how they get you. You're born into, like, on Earth, right?
Right.
And then you're here, and then there's, like, the common law of the land. Don't harm person, property, or, you know, infringe on anybody's rights. That's, like, the natural law. Like, God's law, or whatever they call it. But there's this whole other set of laws that are, like, people make up and write down in books.
Okay.
And keep.
And the key to it is your corporate person. And they try to incorporate your name by putting it all caps.
Right. So you, as the corporate person, are subject to these laws. Like, it's like, it's basically like contract law. Like, you're made
right
to be part of this social contract.
Yeah.
Which we all just join. And, like, sign our name to without knowing it, you know, because of this, the way this shit works. And I didn't know if it was true or not, but I was willing to, like, read the face of the guy who I'm telling this stuff to. But he doesn't know it either, you know. He's just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
He asked me what my address was. It's like, I don't know what you mean by address. Like, it's like plausible deniability. If I don't know what the word means, I only know it to me. So I'm not going to, like, say, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, sure. Because then I'm party to the contract. Like,
right.
Know. You know? For all, like, the only thing that happened was I broke, like, I breached a contract because I drove my car on a state road in the state's car over the speed limit permitted, even though I didn't hurt anybody, even though I didn't, like, cause a car wreck or anything like that, you know? The police officer that pulled me over was like, my grandmother could be driving on this road right now. It's like 9 o'clock at night, dude. But your grandma's yeah. on this road.
What, she's like doing rails at the Rusty Nail? And right. She's going to flip her Lambo?
Yeah, right?
What is your grandma doing?
The next point that I pointed out was that the flag in the back of the courtroom is not the flag provided by Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution. Like, it's got gold fringes on it. It's admiralty law. So that brings back the whole birth thing. Like, ships pulling into port.
Right.
Like, when you're born, your mother's water breaks. YouTube, you know? I don't know. But he passed over that. He didn't understand that. You know, he said, go sit down. I'm going to get my friend up here. He went and repeated everything I said to his friend. The same guy I talked to the first time.
Mm.
And then they brought me back up. And they asked me to repeat the thing I said about the flag. And then I said it, and they were like, what are you saying? This court's not in standing order? And I was like, no, I'm just clarifying as to what order it's standing in. Let me know so I can act accordingly.
Yeah, are we under ship law?
Yeah, I didn't want them to throw me in jail or anything if I said, this is a kangaroo court, even though it really is. You know, they can still pull a gun.
You're saying because the flag has fringes on it.
Yeah.
We're under maritime law?
Basically. That's what the theory is.
So how is it maritime law for a moving violation with a motor vehicle? That's on ground. Maritime sounds like the sea.
Well, yeah.
Double jeopardy.
Well, sort of. I think the whole thing with Dude, to be honest with you, I don't really know.
You were just trying to memorize some words to get out the speeding ticket.
Right. I was just feeling pompous and like, this is my time to be an American and stand up to the man.
You know?
And I just figured out whatever way I could. Anyway, they asked me that question, and then after that, I said, can we go into the judge's chambers? Maybe she'll hear my motion to dismiss. You know, because you don't have standing, you don't have a right infringed on.
Oh, so you're thinking if you pull a move on this lady judge, you know, if you go all the way to her chambers,
I'm thinking that the judge is not back there in the kitchen with the stovetop making some soup for all these attorneys. You know, that there's no judge here, the cop's not here.
Oh, there wasn't a judge there?
No, because you never see a judge. You only see a judge if, like, you have to go through, this is my name, this is what I plea.
So it was a bunch of attorneys and cops?
Because the way Louisiana...
That sounds like illegal.
Well, the way Louisiana works is that, like, good old boy system, like, you know, we just need the money.
Right.
So we don't want to put this on your record. Let's do a non-moving violation. That
give
way...
Give us the fucking envelope.
Give us $125
cash.
Bucks, right. And then we can be done with it, you know?
Right, right.
But I decided to spend my $125 and... two trips to St. Charles Parish, which turned out to be a lot of fun.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going to record it for the podcast.
I wouldn't have done it if, like, that day when I went there in a suit and a mohawk, if, like, I was passing through the metal detector and I put my notebook down and the, like, the fat fucking bailiff there just, like, you know, civil servant about to go into retirement and collect his pension at the age of 45 said, "Wait, are you an attorney?" I was like, only for today. So that was like my sign that you're going to get away with this from the universe or whatever the fuck, you know.
Because he was looking at you like, oh, this guy's in a suit. He means business.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. You're wearing like the man's armor.
Yeah. But what it boiled down to is they asked me what high school I went to, and I told them, you know, a prominent Catholic school in Baton Rouge.
So your goal is not to pin them. You don't want to get pinned down to anything.
No.
Is your name Jason Dormy? I've heard some people call me something
you just
like
show,
that.
You just show them.
What's your address? Yeah, I live by the sea, you know, here and there, to and fro.
It's going to cost them more money to try and go to trial and prosecute me for a speeding ticket that's going to make them $200 than it is, you know, for them to just let me go.
Yeah. See, like, I was talking on the C-Free and DJ Tandem show. I got mad, like, robot tickets in the mail.
Right.
I'm Uber driving around, and cameras are going off, blowing up my spot left, right, and center. The New Orleans PD, or no PD, are too fucking lazy to pull me over, but they got robots all over. And the robots are run by private corporations who lease the fucking intersection and just pay a monthly fee. So I'm just going to be like, what the fuck does it have to do with New Orleans driving safety if I give this private company money? It's unconstitutional. No. And then no matter what, you can lock me up. I'm not paying I'm not sending money to Phoenix. I'm not sending money to Cleveland. That's where they want me to send the money. It's called like, you know, New Orleans public safety.
PO
Box, Phoenix, Arizona. Why am I giving money to a company in Phoenix? This makes no sense. Suck my dick.
Yeah,
Eric Hollerback, I don't know. Some people call me some things.
I think the big thing is that, like, based on all the other research that I did, like, there needs to be a cop there because he's, like, an official person for the state who enforces the social contract. And if he's not there, you know, because and he didn't issue the ticket. That's why they say, like, officer, you know, like, I got to... parking ticket the other day from Officer Petty. Like, what's the actual fucking person's name?
That's a made-up name. Officer Petty officer?
So, like, they'll just sign that ticket, Officer Petty was observed this on the camera. And, you know, and so, but they have to be there to issue you, you know, they can be witness to it.
They have to show up to the court as well, whoever signs it.
I've never gone, but I think if you just show up, like, the cop who... signed it won't be there. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, where is he? Okay, this is void. Can I go now?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that, like, oh, let's set up a camera and convince people that they've done something wrong.
Mm.
It's probably easier for them to use their Apple Pay
if you're as broke as I am, motherfucker,
to get out of this ticket rather than have them show up and, like, learn something.
Yeah,
but it was a great civic experience.
You learned how the system works.
Yeah, dude, do it.
So did you get away with paying anything? You paid nothing.
I paid nothing.
No, not even court fees?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, take that. Eat a dick, the man.
St. Charles Parish.
The man's probably like eating his Cheerios listening, and he just spits them right now.
Like they're processing like 300 people in the matter of an hour and a half.
Right.
Right? And they do that in two segments during the day, and then they rent the place out for weddings at night. Like, they're just generating revenue in that place. Just like, it just, you know, everybody's in queue to go in, say what they need to say, give them their money, and leave. Yeah. And that's how normally everybody does it. But.
And now the good old boys can marry each other after they give out bullshit tickets.
Yeah, sure.
In the same fucking building. The
good old USA. I think that's still frowned upon in that.
How many tickets did you give out, Officer Petty? Gobble, gobble. Let's get married. Fucking racket. They'll suck. Anyway, speaking of sucking dick and stuff. Hey, where you? Yeah, you just destroyed him. It went two rounds. You know, I don't want to talk no shit on Seafree. He's new to comedy, but you kind of cleaned his clock a little at the roast battle.
I mean, I'm relatively new, just a year and like 3 months or so. So I appreciate him coming out and stepping up to the plate and doing it
on short notice. Yeah,
right. You know, that had to be difficult. And I mean, we were talking beforehand, like he even said it, you're like, what am I gonna make fun of you for? You know, he just got him on stage and said, this guy's so good with women and eating pussy, he likes a finger up the ass, women feel comfortable around him because they know he's not gonna rape them. I was like, what is this, a roast, or is this like some weird ceremony? Am I going to get an award after this?
I feel like I'm... Wow.
For being a good feminist?
No one said such nice things to me my whole life.
No, he did his best, but I was... You know, I did it a few months ago with Horatio. And,
yeah. You know, so how was that with Horatio? Was it the same kind of thing? Did you have the same jitters going into the battles with Horatio and with Seafree?
I was just... I don't know. I feel comfortable... With the roast, I always liked roasts. I grew up, you know, grandma watching Dean Martin roast and shit. Like, I mean, the Comedy Central roasts nowadays are kind of like puff pieces to a certain extent, but like...
Some of them are good, man.
I mean, yeah, but Geraldo's dead now, so that's kind of...
I like the Geraldo versus the, like, blue-collar comedy situation when they were all roasting Jeff Foxworthy, how he just said that they all suck. It was like, that's a real New Yorker going, all these fucking blue-collar guys blow, fuck it, you. Like, there was that real animosity.
You just know, like, with the roast battle, like, the audience is there. They want blood, first of all. That's why they're there. And all you, they don't know me, they don't know Seafree, they don't know Horatio, you know, Vince or Jeff or whatever, you know, so like, all they have to go on is that first impression, you know, just a visual aesthetic of you on stage, you know, and is painting a narrative and really getting into it, you know, worth it. With Seafree, I found that since he's a white rapper, it was very easy to to paint a narrative. And no disrespect to him, I listen to his raps and he's really, really talented. You know, rap is not my thing, but you know, I could easily see how an audience full of people would think that, like, being a white rapper is just a little bit
ridiculous.
He's
like a white rapper who's a Buddhist. Like, there's a lot of material just there.
Yeah, so I just hit the podcast and how delusional he was, and I think I hit like one joke about how it kind of looked like the dying shit of John Belushi's overdose, which is I felt mean, but it's
and that's
fun.
What it's about. That's what it's about.
Like, I would love for somebody to like give me in the roast battle like some type of like there's got to be some truth to it,
right?
You know, I mean, you can paint the or turn the bias any which way you want to, you know, that Seafree's a white rapper, but you know, no one else is gonna go and listen to his rap, but I did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's why the preparation is so important. It's like, you know, I don't know a lot of dirt about you, but like if we were gonna battle, I would sit down with coffee for you like three times and we would fucking figure out like all the dark corners of your psyche, and I'm gonna try to express them as rudely as possible.
Right.
But, I mean, that's what we're doing here.
I think that's like the point.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be roasted. Like, I'm up here to perform, and we're both in a very vulnerable position, but, like, it's for the show, and we trust each other, and we're not saying anything that's, like, not...
Yeah.
We're not going to think it's funny, or we're not going to think it's already true, or to a certain extent it's true, and that's a funny thing that he did right there by right. turning that you being a soccer coach into a pedophile thing, you know? like Horatio did.
So I just want to very briefly touch. You were on a podcast episode 133, you know. There was a time back in January where I was kind of fired up. I was kind of exiled myself. I was like, all of my friends were like overnight not my friends anymore back in January. You know what I mean?
A man without an island.
A man without an island.
A man without a country.
Yeah, and so I was like super pissed at you for a couple weeks because I wanted you to listen to it so that I could like have like go through the proper channel so I wasn't exploiting any of my guests. I wanted to make sure that what they said is what they wanted to say. Yeah. You know?
You did right by that.
And eventually I got around to it. But back in January, there was some... So do you feel like you've gone through any backlash from that episode?
No.
Not at all?
No backlash from it. Just the normal backlash.
Background noise?
Right, yeah. Things that I have to tune out. You know? I mean, it's... You're dealing with a group, a community of people who, like, are trying to go to the gym for working out their minds and using words in a way that's very funny and sometimes pokes people, you know, and... Like, it is what it is. Like, people are gonna say shit to you, and it's up to you to, like, process it and take it in whatever way that you want to.
Yeah, but I think, like, now I think we understand each other very clearly, and that was the whole point of the bringing the roast battle to New Orleans, is, like, look, we can make fun of each other. When I make fun of people, and they're screaming at me, I am profoundly confused as to the basis. Like, you want to talk about how the law, they incorporate your name, they put your name in bold, like, all capital letters, and they go, this is you, the corporation of you.
Right.
Right? And so there's this weird thing, it's not really me. But, like, I think that the basis of what comedy is, when you make fun of someone and they ban you from a place, the basis of what comedy is, it was being disturbed for me. And so when I kind of see, like...
Or distorted? Oh,
yeah, when I see people at open mic screaming at... Like, I've heard a lot of stories of a lot of other open mics where the host will scream at people routinely for power, for control.
Like audience or comedians?
Comedians.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so I won't mention the names of the clubs, but, you know, it happens more frequently. And I can't express enough how that has never happened ever in New York or Los Angeles when I've done comedy, ever. Right. That would never happen.
They're just like, oh, and so that guy said something that upset everybody. Oh, well.
Well, I think most people are like us, where it's like, oh, make fun of me if it was funny. Fuck yeah. If it was good for the show, fuck yeah. I don't give a shit if anyone makes fun of me. And so when it was more of like a respect thing, more of a good old boy network where they're like, well, you're going to come here and bow down and kiss our ring. No, not if you guys don't understand what this is. Not if you don't understand what the basis of comedy is.
What's the basis of comedy?
Making fun of each other and being cool with it and talking shit and having a laugh together and going home and being friends.
You're talking about like the basis of like the comedians community?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like comics always bust each other's balls and that's cool. And if you get ribbed, it's like, yeah, if it feels bad, yeah, that's what happened. It feels bad one day.
Yeah.
You don't get to scream at somebody. No. You don't get to scream at somebody off stage because you got made fun of on stage and people laughed and that's what happened and fucking deal with it.
Right.
You don't get to fucking ban people. You don't get to, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't want to keep talking about this, but okay.
You always want to talk about it.
I know. But you were on the podcast, and that obviously episode 133 is like the most important episode I've ever made for myself. So it's very important. That was like an art project that kind of refocused what the fuck I was doing here.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't too long after the first edit.
Yeah, it was very repetitive. You saw the bet. It was like 138 when I first sent it to everybody.
Yeah.
And then I cut it down to 123, and I think it's pretty lean.
I think it was good that you went back and like let everybody listen to what they had said, because I know for me, like, we were sitting out in Siberia, and I was like a few beers in already, just entertaining the fact that I'm being recorded. right. let alone what it's about.
Right.
And you were going on, and I was like, okay, what, like, what kind of truth can I lend to this situation? And then when I went back and listened to myself, I'm like, I sound like a fucking politician. Like, what am I saying?
Yeah.
You know, but there was one part that, like, I don't know if it helped or hurt or didn't do anything, but, like, that I thought, like, represented what I felt about the situation. You know, that's what you were saying, you know. We get up on stage and we're vulnerable in front of people whenever we're telling our jokes, and if some of those jokes happen to be about other people, you know, that are comedians who are also getting up on stage, that's the position that they put themselves in. And are you really gonna, like, get really bent out of shape and, like militantly like, it's not even a microaggression, it's like a macroaggression.
Yeah.
Like, what purpose does that serve, and where does that come from?
I know.
I mean, I kind of understand to a certain extent, but not, I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to, like, I can understand how other people who were recorded and, like, myself, like, didn't want to, like, I don't remember what the fuck I said after,
sure,
like,
sure.
6 months
down. Especially cut it into the context that I was going to put your interview in.
Yeah.
So that's why, for me, on that episode, I just want to tell people, like, people don't know that I went the length of sending it to everybody who was in the episode before
sure.
I released it to make sure, like, hey, this is kind of explosive, so if you're cool with this, if I didn't take you out of context, then I'll post it. But
after you edit this one, can you send it to me?
Yeah, okay. Oh, we don't have... Oh, we do have some time. Okay, yeah, it'll post Tuesday at, like, 2 a.m. So, fucking anyway, you're going to host a show at the La Nuit, a storytelling show.
Yeah, it's called The Rundown.
The Rundown. What's the concept behind that show?
I just wanted to give, like, I feel like I have some stories that I think that I've written down that are pretty funny, and I'm trying to, like, craft, but I can't do them in, like, a four-minute open mic setting, or even, like, if I was going to go to a book show.
Right.
Like, if people aren't expecting, like, a story or something, and
right.
I'm going to use all my... 7 to 10 minutes on this one chunk. But I think if there was an opportunity like that, you know, for
to go into so your rule is like, hey, no material, don't do material, you're gonna work on a story when you come to my show. That's a 7 minute
yeah, we're gonna
story.
Have a few stand-ups in between and mix it up kind of like Rose Battle does, but you know, just give a few spots to like 3 or 4 spots to people who have like that interesting story that they want to tell, and maybe that they work it down and craft it and work towards making that like a meat of like, you know, a headlining set, like a 20 minute set or 30 minute
right.
set. Now they have this 7 to 8 minute bit that's like this big narrative that can lend to people understanding who the comic is on stage and stuff. I just wanted to provide that. They offered that to me after the first roast battle and asked me to come up with an idea, and that's kind of, I kind of already had that idea in my head. I wanted to do that, so...
Yeah. So Kelly Stone is now running... She's the manager of the La Nuit. I think she's fucking great,
yeah,
you know?
Great gal. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly's pretty awesome because it's like, you know, she's a mom. She's a bad fucking... She's a badass comic, you know?
I thought you were about to say badass.
No. Like a bad bitch is what I'm saying.
Okay.
She's a bad bitch, you know?
She's not a do-nothing bitch.
She ain't no do-nothing bitch for sure. And, you know, she's a sex educator and stuff. She's fucking great.
Yeah, what's all about that?
I don't know. I think she, like, got her master's in sex education or something. And she teaches that at colleges or something. I don't know.
Because college kids don't know.
They haven't heard of it. Yeah.
I don't know. That seems pretty plausible. People need to know more. Shows a lot of interesting things that I don't know.
Well, when I was an undergrad, me and my girlfriend, like, weren't having sex, and I had to see a sex therapist at school in undergrad.
It was free?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And because, like, she had vaginismus. Have you ever heard of that?
What is that?
Like, you know, if you try to have sex, like, the walls of her vagina would close because she was so afraid of the
like
pain.
Like, she was allergic to your dick?
Kind of, but like all dicks. You know what I mean? Like, she was so scared of the pain that there was, like, so you have to, like... Basically, we had to order a set of dildos in the mail that were, like, very, very tiny. One was, like, a fucking number 2 pencil. That was the first one. And then it went up from there to one that was a little bit bigger than my dick. That I was like, we're not getting, you know, just my dick is next, right?
Yeah.
We can't shove this fucking Mandingo cock in you because then my dick's going to feel like nothing, you know? So anyway, we so we went saw a sex therapist, and we had to watch a video, and it was a lot of fucking work, man.
Together?
But, yeah, yeah,
did
yeah.
Did you hold hands in the meeting?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. If the pussy I gave up to, like, try to be the good guy, you know what I mean? Stupid. Stupid. Hey, speaking of which, you're married.
Yeah.
So what is the sex life, really, with being married? How many times a week are you getting in there? Is it satisfying to you? Is it getting too routine? What's going on?
For the sanctity of my marriage, I'll respectfully decline.
How dare you? How dare you? How open am I? Disrespectful.
Out of respect for the other person, the other half of the marriage.
Right.
But I will say, it's good. Young people have nothing to fear if you find the right person. Like, I don't think anybody prescribes to, like, virginity until marriage anymore.
Right.
Like, in my, like, lifetime, like, when I was 18, 19, like, I met, like, 2 out of, like, 100 to 200. I don't even know how many, you know, girls that I met, guys even. Like, I don't think there's a guy left on the planet that believes in virginity until marriage.
Right, right.
You just, like, sex is important, but it's not, like, everything. It's, like, that one thing that you do. But there are, like, a ton of different things that you do to, like, feel connected with that person.
Right.
Like, if you just want to talk about, like, coming, and, like, coming is important to you, then, yeah, you don't really need to be married. Like, you need to be on Tinder or
get, like, a dirty sock.
Whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Right, right.
Or whatever. Fleshlight. Whatever you need to come, go out and find that if that's what's important to you. But, like...
So you're saying marriage has nothing to do with coming.
I think it should have a little bit to do with coming. But, like,
well, you guys make Eggs Benedict together? What are you doing?
It's not the priority. It's not a priority. When you're in a marriage, like, hopefully you're smart enough to understand that this is, like, some animalistic need that is programmed inside you to, like, procreate. You know, thankfully humans are evolved enough to figure out ways to reach that feeling of euphoria without actually procreating,
mm-hmm.
you know, because not everybody can afford to have kids, and she's not gonna stop having sex with me because I don't have any money, so, like, that wouldn't,
right,
that old devil's advocate game, I think that only happens to, like, people, like, with, like, millions of dollars and property and real estate and shit like that, who just, like, chase after the woman in the red dress, you know, so to speak, like, that unattainable thing, and then they get caught up with that siren or whatever, like, type of, like, you know, girl demon entity. I don't know what that
the succubus.
Sure, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, succubus, great band. Great band, succubus. Love them. Saw them at the UNO Lakefront Arena back in the day.
Yeah, the tickets are real expensive and you never even come. It's very rude.
Yeah, no, it's not the most important thing. I'm sure there's a guy out there that's thinking, like, this fucking pussy. This defeated fucking man. But it's not. Like, you find other, like, there are other things that are more important.
So you guys both have your own career, right?
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of, like, you know,
building. Right now we're, like, not in the building, like, the our life. We're, like, trying to build each other's lives and share in it, and then, like, hopefully they're gonna intersect and meet up completely one day.
Is she cool with you going, you're out all the time doing comedy, right? That's a big thing for you right now, like,
She doesn't like comedy
at all.
She doesn't like me doing comedy.
Right. She'd rather you go stay in all the time.
Well, she'd rather me play music or something like that, but no, she doesn't like, I mean, I'm a married guy, so I have to talk about being married and lend some type of perspective or try and craft some new, like, my own way to talk about it and lend my version of marriage to everybody else. And in doing so, I make mistakes on stage and say things that she doesn't like, but she's not going to, like, divorce me over.
Sometimes you reveal little tidbits or something about your marriage?
No, it's not even tidbits. Sometimes I just lie. Like, I just lie to create the joke.
Right.
And make it fit in whatever I'm trying to do.
Sure.
At the moment. Like, I have that bit about... I mean, this doesn't throw her under the bus, but, like, I have that bit about, like, anal. And, like, how, you know, she was real nervous about it. She said two fingers, that's it. And I was like, that's great. You have small fingers. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. So I'm just flipping and playing on that stereotype of, like, when you get married, your wife automatically has to give you anal.
Right.
Like, that's what marriage is about. You know, and that...
That's what I'm trying to get you to admit, finally, on the record.
Oh, yeah, what? That marriage is about anal?
Well, it's all about making you come through your prostate.
No. I know you're, like, all into that right now.
Did she have stinky fingers?
No. It's never even happened.
Right.
It's never even... So that's a complete fabrication of something that I thought up in trying to write a joke. And so sometimes that happens, and, you know, it's... said in the wrong bar that she goes to often on Mondays. And that's probably the biggest concern.
At 12 Mile or Siberia?
12 Mile. Yeah. 12 Mile. Yeah, we go there a lot. I always get introduced as being a regular. Bring the mic stand and the microphone. Mm-hmm. Haven't found a way to combat that yet. I just last time I got up on stage and said I pretty much paid for all the bartenders' student loans. I made a few student loan payments. Infrastructure, you know, the new women's bathroom. I'm pretty much, you know, at a ratio better than the U.S. government on infrastructure and student loans. Vote for me for president.
Just because you're getting drunk at 12 Mile all the time is what you're right. saying.
It's a good cause.
Fucking right.
Helping people, you know, get out of debt and have a good time at the same time.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so I gotta. Talk to my credit card company about my name in capitals versus my name, how I came out the womb as a free man. Anyway,
right, the credit card is crazy, right? That's they just like make money up out of nowhere.
Yeah, they don't even have the money, but they loan it to you.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "You need to pay us this money back."
You just take your, they take your real money.
Yeah, no, right? That you slave away for. God, what a great, after they take 30% out of your money.
What a great business.
The government takes 30% of your money, and whatever's left over, you have to pay back the pretend money that the bank said that they had, but they don't.
Yeah. No, I know. There was a guy, I remember, because I used to work a retail job. I used to manage, like, a soccer shop. There's a guy that came in, and he was, like, a regular at the store. And he, like, had a credit card with his name, LLC, on it. And I was like, this is...
He's writing everything off.
This is, yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Was he a soccer coach of some sort?
No, or? He was just a... Like, he was an adult league player, like, beer league player. And he came in to buy some shoes and socks and jocks and whatnot.
See, even at the beer league level, you can incorporate yourself and not pay taxes.
Right.
See, that guy's smart. He knows what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, all my credit cards have my name in uppercase on them. Now that I think about it, I never even thought about that. They print your name on the credit card in uppercase.
Yeah, because it's to, like, the corporate account. You know, like, your taxes and Social Security and shit all go into your serial number account, right. And that's, like, how much you're worth.
But what about your rights as a freeman?
There was some crazy thing when I was researching all that stuff. Like, there is, like, a separate stock market for that people trade on Social Security numbers.
Yeah.
Like that.
Are you listening to Jordan Maxwell? Is he the one who's telling you this stuff?
No. But I heard that, like, a long time ago.
Because, like, this is my Social Security card, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the real deal. On the other side, whoa, what's this red number? This red number, D2, et cetera, et cetera,
right.
That's my stock number.
Right.
And if there's a way where if you go to fidelity.com, you can type in the red number on the back of your security, Social Security card, and you can actually, I'm sure my stock is way down right now, way down, you know? The Eric Hollaback stock is not doing well. I got to Uber drive that shit back up.
Comedy recession.
Especially after all my fucking tickets. Jesus, fuck me. But, yeah, you know.
Yeah, if you don't pay those, they boot your car.
Yeah, that's rude. Yeah. So passive-aggressive.
I my dad got one, and he, like, took me to lunch one day, and, like, he parked, and, like, he was literally in New Orleans, like, for 30 minutes before that. And, like, within, like, the time stamp on the ticket, like, 10 minutes of him parking there, there was somebody that came around and put a boot on his car.
So he had unpaid tickets from other
stuff? Yeah, he had an unpaid red light ticket, yeah. And
was it from a speed camera or from a proper officer? Officer Petty?
No. Yeah, it was a speed camera, yeah. Speed camera, red light camera.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Dude, they come out. There's got to be, like, those cameras on the interstate and shit, like, there's got to be some way for them to track, like, your license plate. You know, they have that place, they have that place over in Lakeview. Like, it's next to the new DMV. It's, like, wherever you get off at West End.
Right.
It's just a weird building, like, division of something, whatever, bureaucratic, dick-sucking, traffic, something.
Office of Motor Vehicles?
No. It's not the, not the Office of Motor Vehicles. It's some other, like, transportation bureau or some shit.
Sure.
But they've got all kinds of cameras around this place, and it looks like some henchman's, like, secret headquarters or something. And it's just like, are they tagging, like, license plates and figuring out, oh, that guy has a late one, let's go, we know where he's going to be in this area.
So you're saying that you think that your dad, as soon as he came to New Orleans, people, the super grid, started photographing his license plate.
Yeah.
And then it went ding, 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 ding.
He's within this square block on this corner.
Hey, send some person out to boot his car.
Go put that yellow thing that'll break his car if he drives off.
Can you imagine if it gets to a level where your iPhone knows, like, it always has GPS on it, and then if you break the speed limit, your iPhone will just send you email tickets?
That'd be crazy. There was this weird thing. Last night, we were, like, down the street here at Gaza Gaza for a concert, and, like, I literally, like, got in my car, and I just done the new, like, Apple update yesterday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got in my car, and then I pull out my phone to, like, plug it in and, like, turn on some music, and it says, like, it has a notification that says, it's going to take you 13 minutes to get home. Traffic is normal right now. And I'm like, I didn't even touch my fucking phone.
I didn't even say where I was going.
I didn't.
What?
What the hell is going on right now? That was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write that one off for now until it happens again. But if it happens again, I'll let you know.
Did it say?
We can talk about this more.
Did you get into the car with your wife and then a notification popped up like you're going to get half a blowjob and you're not going to come? You're going to have to finish yourself off in the dark?
No. Because she wasn't with me. My older cousin was with me. So it did say that.
So it said you are going to have sex.
Right.
Because it was your other cousin.
Yeah, but that's like...
You want to recreate bad time scenarios from when you...
playing tummy sticks and stuff. Yeah. Good times.
I'm a fucking deviant. Yeah, I know, right? Why is it that lately, and just answer me this, like, why is it lately that I've, like, my favorite porn is, like, really old guys and, like, really young girls? Like, why am I into that?
I don't know. Maybe you're setting yourself up for later in life.
Yeah, just, like, hope for the future. It's like, if that guy can get that girl, you know, then maybe the girl seems more attainable.
Right. She's got some standards.
Yeah. Maybe he's, you know.
Hey, they're as weird as yours. Old guys and young girls?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, it's just like, well, maybe he gave her a ham sandwich and she's like, oh, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like,
did you see your dad's cock or something? Is that like...
No comment. Oh, yeah. No comment. I'm going to erase that.
Plead the fifth, sixth, and seventh on that one.
Listen, I'm Eric, a free man. I don't even know if I have a dad or a mom or I don't know. Can I get out of this questioning? Yeah, probably at some time. My parents also touched my butthole, you know what I mean? Like,
suppository?
They gave me a suppository. My mom gave me a suppository when I had a virus. And I was like, can I put this in myself? And she, like, without you there? And she's like, no. She's like, I want to put it in. My mom's a fucking freak. And
she's afraid you're going to kill yourself.
By what?
Your
sticking
hands,
a suppository in my own ass?
Get stuck up your ass. It's like... She's going to get taken away to you're going to get taken away by social services, and she's not going to be a mother anymore because you got your hand stuck up your ass.
She works
all
for
because
social
you
services.
Had fucking rickets or something like that. is it really worth it?
It worked. The suppository worked, though. I couldn't eat anything. I had a stomach virus. Boom.
Well, how old were you?
10 or something.
Your mom can put her hand on your ass for a suppository.
But then it was crazy because then I was 11. And I had ringworm, and both my parents went into my room at night with a piece of scotch tape, and they opened my cheeks up, and they put scotch tape on my asshole, and then they gave it to a doctor, so the doctor found ringworm on it, so that they could give me a prescription.
Did you really have ringworm?
It was like, yeah, I did. And well, I was
good thing they stuck that Scotch tape.
I know, but
your ass.
I was butt violated twice in like 9 months. I'm still not right because of it. So that I can chalk most of my neuroses up to.
Did they violate any other of your other holes? Nose, mouth, pee hole, ears.
Maybe I need. I have repressed memories.
It sounds like you have good parents, and you're just stretching for a different reason. Right here. I think that's me too.
I got stretched.
I can relate to that.
That suppository was huge.
And I can relate to that. You had great parents, and you want them to be shittier in your own personal narrative, but it's not.
Yeah,
possible.
I wanna give myself more street cred by in the comedy world by being more depraved. But I grew up like upper middle class, so I really don't have anything to complain about.
I like that Jeff Buckcheck from Roast Battle, or was it Jeff or Vince? Or like his mom's a heroin addict. That means he was born with a. No, that wasn't that. That was a different Roast Battle. I was watching Periscope the other night. Roast Battle and...
They
Periscope
yeah.
all those Roast Battles. The dude was like... his mom was a heroin addict. That means he was born with a rusty spoon in his mouth. It was a great joke.
Fuck yeah.
It's like not what you were expecting, but, you know, it was good. Yeah, no complaints with the parents. Parents are great.
Did you watch some of those Los Angeles roast battles to kind of prepare how you should format your jokes and be punchier and kind of get in and out?
Yeah, it's not like doing bits. You gotta like, I mean, you still time stuff out for laughs and all
right.
that stuff, but like
right.
you gotta hit and hit and hit and really dig and try and build. So yeah, I mean, they have a little bit different format, but they do some cool stuff.
Well, like, they got the Negro Wave and stuff.
Yeah, they got the hype guys.
Yeah, were you here when Jamar Neighbors was doing the show
no,
as well?
Oh, okay. Who's that?
Jamar Neighbors, he's part of like the Negro Wave in the Roast Battle in Los Angeles,
okay.
where just like after every joke, he's just like, oh,
yeah,
and he
crazy.
Pretends to be shot like 100 times. He was in town doing the Key and Peele movie. And,
okay.
He like headlined the Roast Battle in here in New Orleans.
Hey, janitors in your office are going
hardcore
right now.
I know, right? Fucking, they're cleaning up the dead dog and they're scraping the chairs.
What do you pay them with, suppositories?
Yeah, that's why they're moving so fast. Jason Dormady, I heard a rumor that you were into conspiracy theories in college. You just experimented?
Yeah, you know, for the chicks and money.
Ween bitches.
Right.
So you are out of conspiracies now? What's going on?
I just don't.
You meet weird people when you are on a conspiracy adventure?
Yeah, now it's just like there's no reason for me to lend any more energy towards trying to figure things out whenever nobody's going to be able to ever figure it out anyway. So might as well try and be a little bit more productive with my time.
Right.
In college, there was a group of us who were all interested into the YouTube and all the conspiracies and watching documentaries and researching things on the internet and stuff. And one of my buddies was like, hey, I met this guy. You should come to meet him. He owns this bar in, funny, St. Charles, like the same parish that I kind of pulled over in.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there from Baton Rouge, so we drove like 45 minutes, and it's this like shit kicker country bar, like Hank Williams Sr. / like Toby Keith peanuts on the floor, just like shithole, like really overdone, huge dance floor, like there's like 10 people in there.
That's so conspiracy.
It's like, no, I mean it's like 50, it's like it's a huge space and there's nobody in there and there's all these fucking dance like that. I think we
right,
went there
right,
on, like,
right.
a Tuesday or something. But
so what you're saying is the guy owns a room that's empty. It's a giant room that's empty.
Yeah, that, it's not...
Hmm.
It's not.
Is that a metaphor for conspiracies?
No.
It's a big room that's empty?
No.
A vast cavernous of no ideas.
Sure, right. Maybe.
So what did this guy tell you?
You're saying it, not me. Okay?
What did this guy tell you? Did he have some secret information?
No, he just... You know, we sat down, we met him, and then he's like, hey, let me get you this beer. Mm-hmm. It's a great beer. It's from Germany.
Whoa.
And he opened it up. It's got that, like, weird top that has, like, the holder for the top, and you can, like, close it back up and shit. It's a big-ass beer bottle. And he's, oh, this is great. You can't find any beer like this in America or any other country. Only in Germany. Only in Germany. And I'm just sitting there like, what? And so we start talking about conspiracy theories and stuff. And he is like really into Alex Jones and things like that, which is kind of like the norm. That's like the first thing that you get into before like you figure out that Alex Jones is making a shit ton of money, like just promoting the same type of shit CNN or Fox News are doing.
See, he's too much like a mega church operator. Like a mega church operates by like one person being very charismatic and bold and I can't even believe there's so much information coming in.
He's like megalomaniac-ish. Like he's just like this crazy like narcissistic fiend that's just like, it's my duty to give all this information, but it's not really that. He just knows that
he can pull on your heartstrings
and
a certain
make money
way.
On this one little niche group of people that want to receive their news in a certain way. So, you know, we're talking about all that stuff, and he just keeps talking about like Germany and like Hitler and shit. And I'm like, you can't possibly believe all this. Like, he's talking about like Hitler, like it was like his like buddy in high school signed his yearbook.
Yeah,
you know, with that great message that he's gonna remember. Like, he's just got way too much admiration for Hitler. I'm like, what? Is this guy like?
He was a vegetarian. He was an environmentalist.
Like, is this guy like a fucking Nazi or something?
He loved nature so much, he killed everybody to preserve it.
Oh God, it was so weird. I was like, this can't be happening. What in my life has brought me to this point? Come to find out, we researched the guy, and he was like David Duke's right-hand man. You know who David Duke is?
No.
He was a guy that was, I think he was elected governor of Louisiana, but he was like known KKK, like grand wizard, like white supremacist dude.
I see.
And like the Southern Poverty Law Center has this guy that we met like on their like top 10 like watch lists or some shit, and they had this whole profile about him. He owns some like strip club in Gonzales and like this other bar, and like how he has these websites that say all these bad things about Martin Luther King Jr. and all kinds of like, it's like, it's just the weirdest like Twilight Zone thing, you know. But yeah, like this dude is just like a white, I had no idea, but like I could feel like the tone whenever we were talking. Like 5 years later, I'm in a bar in New Orleans, and I like in my peripheral hearing down the bar, I hear this same like jargon about how Hitler was an amazing artist, and he was
a vegan and environmentalist.
He's like poet laureate of like just like all this.
Wait a minute, I know that guy. I know that voice.
And this crazy shit. And I'm like, this can't be happening. And sure enough, this dude is hitting on a girl at the bar, talking to her about how great Germany and Hitler are. Like, this is his method. Like, what, like Nazi Tinder, does that exist? Because, like, this is the craziest. And he's, sure enough, he's there, and we make eye contact. And I just give him the, like, fire, like, yeah, I can ruin your shit at any moment. And he just, like, looked away and continued having his fucking conversation. Just like, yeah, so don't be a conspiracy theorist, because you might find yourself in a room with somebody who hates pretty much all people.
Well, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know. But we can't get into all that shit. But
conspiracy has like such a terrible stigma attached
it is,
to it.
It is a weird as a word. Because it's like, oh, you theorize. The definition of conspiracy is like any two people who are in a closed room.
Acting.
That talk about what they're going to do. It's like
acting clandestinely against somebody else.
So that means like every conversation I've had with my friend where I'm going to be like, hey, do you want to do this? That was a conspiracy.
It's just you and
to go to
talking.
A diner.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was. Because we said, hey, they got good steak fries over there.
At Dodd's Diner.
You know, so like the fact that like in the Pentagon, it's like a giant building with like lots of closed doors. right? And so if a conspiracy isn't happening every 4 seconds in the Pentagon, I don't know what the purpose of that building is.
Just a bunch of people checking email.
I mean, what are they doing in there if they're not going, hey, we should go and do that thing. We should go bomb these people with drones. What are they doing? Of course that's what they're
hey,
doing.
Hey, John, I'm bringing donuts to work today. Don't tell Sally because she's going to eat them all. Or
oh, that fat bitch. We got to keep the donuts away from Sally. She'll hog them all down and then be on the floor with sticking insulin in her arm. Any conversation that two people have behind closed doors is a conspiracy. So, like, what is the government for? What are they monitoring? They're monitoring a network of conspiracies. Everyone's trying to backstab each other for each other's jobs.
Yeah.
And while they're stealing oil from other countries with drone murder.
I just don't think it's in human nature for, like, a group of 40 or 130 or, like, 200 people to just be like, let's fuck everybody else. Let's only care about us. Without them ever, like, looking across the room being like, no, I'm gonna fuck you out of that shit too. You know what I mean? Like,
hey. Yeah.
So, yeah, people plot to, like, take advantage of a situation based on, like, gross negligence on other people's part. But, like, it seems like there can't be this complex system. You know what I mean? Like, how much time and effort are these people, like, they've got to do laundry.
Right.
Or they got to pay somebody. They got to pay somebody to do laundry while they get a massage. Like, while some Asian is jerking. Like,
yeah, that sounds like the life.
Their lunch is being cooked. Yeah.
And they can only keep getting jerked off. They can only keep getting massaged while other people do their laundry.
But even still, they can't.
They steal this oil.
But even still, their cell phone signal is terrible in the Asian spa, and they can't look up their old man, young girl porn. Like,
so I'm not coming.
There's still problems.
Yeah. Huge problems. Blue ball problems that are really backed up, you know?
Yeah, I just don't. It's like not worth the time.
Right. So you're kind of like, the only way out of this is to focus on my shit really hard and make sure that I can feed myself.
Yeah, improve yourself as a person. Improve your bank account.
Right.
Improve the space that you live in. Like, these are all...
Be nice to your friends.
Yeah, these are all natural, like, things for people to want to do. To, like, constantly concern yourself and, like, speak in tongues in front of other people about the Federal Reserve and all this other shit. Like, if people really wanted to know, they would fucking go look for it themselves.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but... like, conspiracy theory nowadays is, like... pop culture.
Right.
Like, no one fucking thinks anything about JFK anymore. Like, no one... Everybody's like, yeah, that was 60 years ago, or 50 years ago, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, but it is kind of scary where it's like, oh, shit, anytime they want, they could just blow a president's head off if he starts doing anything towards helping humanity, and then be like, oh, actually, it was this other guy.
That's why I think,
you know,
Donald
I mean?
Trump, if he gets elected president, they will shoot him. It will be a lone gunman, and we will discover that he had an affair with America's sweetheart, Caitlyn Jenner. I think that's what we will find out if it
all right.
And it will prove time is cyclical.
Yeah. I agree with you. My question to you is this. Vaginal or new, like, in that new pussy or in the asshole? Like, how is he fucking Caitlyn? You know what I mean? How would Trump do it? You know? When Trump is about to get in there.
Trump seems like a simple guy. We'll probably just have Caitlyn, like, throw a javelin from 120 yards away into his butt or some shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you want the gold medal experience?
I just hope it goes through his brain and there ain't no second, you know, javelin thrower from the bushy underpass.
Yeah, my asshole is more of a discus.
I just wanted to be an open and shut case. It was Caitlyn Jenner. You know, no conspiracy.
My sphincter has more of a discus cavern to it. Javelin really doesn't do enough for me. I need something a little wider.
Wow. What happened? Did you use the discus size dildo when you were getting over vaginismus?
No, we're talking about Trump, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just thinking of those dildos that came in the mail. And as I opened each package, I felt worse about myself.
UPS is crazy.
Yeah.
You gotta think, like, if you work for them, you're shaking a couple of those packages whenever you see those addresses, like a kid on Christmas morning, you know, like at 5 a.m. before your parents are up.
Because the ones that are, like, intentionally marked just, like, Vortex Industries, you're like, what is that? Someone's getting their butthole wide in. Vortex Industries. And it's, like, all, like, brown paper, like, the least descript one. You know what I mean? And it's like, what's in this box?
It's my dark matter dildo.
Because they don't write on the box anything sexual. They always chalk it up to a company because they want to be like, hey, this is discreet shipping, you know? Right.
No, that's on your credit card bill. That's not on the shipping address.
I know. And I don't want to pay for all those dildos in the mail.
It says ass fuck China on that fucking...
That was healthcare.
UPS label.
So if you just call the credit card company and you're like, this Eric Hollenbeck, capital letters, dude? Yeah, I don't know. That's got nothing to do... I never opened that company.
No, it was the corporate person that took the dildo up the ass. Right?
Yeah. That corporate pussy. Then you could just write
that
it off.
That straw man corporation.
Yeah.
Who took the number two pencil dildo.
If my credit card said Hollenbeck LLC, I could write all that shit off. All that shit.
Tax deductible.
Stick anything in your ass. You know what I mean? Get that prostate, fellas. Get that.
Is that... I don't even know. Is that worth it? Is that worth figuring out? I feel like I would, like... If I even tried to do that... I would just be so disgusted with my own asshole that I would, like, put rubber gloves on, like, just to be safe. Yeah. Just for my hands' sake.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like...
You've never stuck anything in your ass. Not a finger, never. Just, like, a quarter inch, like, up to the fingernail. No. Never.
No.
What are you doing with your life?
Just being a normal person that's not obsessed with shoving things up
my ass. Well, let me tell you this. Did you ever read in a book that, like, dudes, like, who are gay, like... They, like, fuck each other, and there's, like, a prostate in there that, like, feels really good. Listen, I'm saying I got hemorrhoids, so every time I stick my finger in my ass, it's painful. It's a bad situation. I got to immediately withdraw, you know.
Is that the medication?
And then I'm shitting blood.
Recreation. Medication or recreation? Are you taking care of the hemorrhoids?
I get stoned first.
Okay.
Warm the situation up. Right. You know what I mean? Get me into it. Flick on that, you know, really old dude, really young girl.
No, they had that movie Road Trip.
Yeah.
Where that dude, you know, he's not Stifler, but he's playing a Stifler character, like Sean William Scott or something like that. Yeah. So he like goes to the sperm bank to make money for their bus trip to Austin or whatever, and like he needs help and he doesn't know exactly what he's asking for. But the nurse goes in and stimulates his prostate, and then, you know,
he's like,
Cinderella story,
help.
Finds a girl who's willing to do that for him every day.
Wow.
So.
That's what I'm saying. This should be in your marriage contract. It shouldn't be some like, oh, you get half my shit if this thing goes south in the marriage contract. It should be like, are you sticking your finger in my ass? How many times am I getting jerked off a week?
I wonder how many actual prenups have the stick my finger in the ass clause in them.
Or like you have to weigh a certain amount. Otherwise, you get divorced. It's not even my fault.
That could work both ways.
Yeah, if you go under over a buck 45.
Dudes be getting fat these days,
for
too.
For sure. I think it should go both ways.
I think it's just, like, New Orleans culture. Everybody just drinks so much. The food is so rich and all these things.
I'm going to always...
It's very indulgent.
I'm going to stay below 180, I think, my whole life. I'm, like, 165 normally.
That's a solid policy.
When I'm fat, I get 175. If I'm 180, that's way off.
I think I'm, like, 175 now. I think I want to be... I think my frame and my height, I can probably get up to, like, 200.
If you really tried.
If I really, like...
If you went beefy with it.
Yeah. I haven't been in the gym in, like, a month, but, like, I was making some progress.
You make your money, and your day job is teaching girls how to play soccer.
Not girls. That's just a joke. You know, you take a little few artistic liberties whenever you're,
Who are you teaching?
But I coach boys soccer. I coach, like, club soccer, which is, like, travel, premier soccer, and then I also coach high school.
Do you feel like you're reinforcing the patriarchy?
No, I feel like these kids are going to grow up to be what they are. My minimal influence probably won't have an effect, but I can do what I do in the time that I have with them to kind of like help make sure that they become...
Do you ever tell them that you do comedy?
Some of them, but like, no, not all of them.
Are any of them interested in doing that?
Maybe. I'm just letting them know that there's other things, you know, because I like being a teacher, like our soccer coach, you know, I'm a firm believer in, like, my positive experience with like, youth sports is that, like, you learn a lot of life lessons from playing sports, like, how to work with people, like how to, like, deal with your own ego, how to kind of live in the moment and find that, like, flow state where you're using your intuition. Like, there's a lot of, I mean, I don't, obviously don't talk about, like, I'm not talking about this with 11-year-olds, but I'm teaching them the skills that they need for the game. They have this goal, they have this dream, they want to be this player, you know, this athlete, and I'm just showing them the blueprint on how to get there. And, you know, whenever they get a little bit older and a little bit more mature, you can teach, like, life lessons.
How old are these kids?
This year I have, like, 16s and I have 11-year-olds, yeah, boys.
So everything in between?
Well, so they, like, they play by age group, so we don't, like, put 11-year-olds on the field with 18-year-olds because that would just be...
I'm just asking.
A discus.
Okay,
up
so
ass
you have
a,
you have one team that's 11, you have one team that's 16.
Yeah, so they don't play each other. They play in different leagues. I just coach them both. So I get to see, like, that high schooler type of mentality, maturity, those kids, and then also get to see, like, a few years before that. It's a weird, like, perspective to have. I'm seeing, like, myself in these kids, like my 11-year-old self and then, like, my 16-year-old self. They teach me just as much as I teach them. You know, and whenever they teach me, it jogs something up in my memory to where I can relate in a different experience to them and, like, further their understanding of, like, whatever conflict that they're in, like, with their self or with the team. Or one thing I've learned is that, like, such is life, right? Like, the cards you're dealt, half of them, like, have the physical ability to do anything. They just don't understand it. They don't understand how to make it work. And then there's this other half that understands it perfectly but can't do it at all. Like, there's this, like, dichotomy between these two, like, separate groups of, like, type A and type B people, you know? And I think that's probably why we have to, like, fantasize about conspiracy theories and find, like, this higher reason for why shit happens. But it's like there's this conflicting energy groups, like masculine or feminine or whatever you want to call it. Like, there's just, like, different types of people that have different sets of values in the way that they react instinctually as animals, and, like, just causes conflict and tension all the time. And so that's how, like, it propels everything forward. Like, people are always constantly growing when they're put in situations that they're uncomfortable with. And that kind of, like, is a formative experience for that person. But with kids, you're talking about in a safe environment, in a game, their parents are there, there's that coach that's there, there's the referee that's there. Everybody's safe. And they get to go out and run and tackle people and be physical with other people and learn about the physical dimension and then be creative. The great thing about soccer is that, like, it's a game that requires imagination. There's no, like, hierarchy of orders or compartmentalization of information the way, like, football is.
Right, like, only the quarterback that has the earpiece.
Right, and the coach sends in the play, and everybody has their orders, and we're going to use this big, like, 6'7" black guy who's 340 pounds to protect while this other guy runs wide, you know, because he's the wide receiver.
I wonder what dildos that his wife gets in them.
No, so like, soccer is this game that's everybody on the field has to have a constantly changing, evolving understanding of the given moment. And they also have to be able to, like, be imaginative and create things with, and it's very, like, esoteric. Like, it's this, like, ball, like, you're, like, kicking around the earth, you know, and learning, like, the way a ball works and the physics of where you kick it and how you, like, the weight of your touch. And, you know, if my foot hits this side of the ball's going to spin off this way. It's like you're learning a lot of physical mechanics about your body. You're becoming more coordinated. It's this very, like, positive thing for people to do. I know people shit on youth sports a lot, and there's all these terrible coaches that, like, are obsessed with, like, winning. And, like, that's not the point. You're there to, like, give these kids a fun experience, teach them the game. Hopefully they learn something about themselves, about life, about dealing with other people. You know, like, there's some kids that that come into the program and like they're not sociable, they don't play well with others, and then by the end of the program, you know, program, we're talking about a program. I know like that word is a trigger word for you. But
my someone put a chip in my brain.
So like they're like downloading that program over time. When they get a job or whenever they decide to be an artist or whatever type of career and life that they want to have, they're going to be able to, you know, deal with situations, communicate with other people, figure out what their path is and make their own choices. And hopefully, like, you know, their experience has helped them to, like, make good choices for themselves. I've always had, like, communication issues. And so, like, doing comedy for me was, like, a way to practice communicating in front of people, exercise something that's planned, and then also kind of live in the moment at the same time, or at least try to. And that's exactly like what talking to like talking to a room full of people drinking is about the same as talking to like 20, 16-year-olds mm-hmm. at halftime. It's the same exact thing. You've got to keep their attention. They will heckle you if you say something stupid. Like, if you're not being captivated,
know what you're talking about.
Yeah, know what you're talking about. Be true to the moment and what's going on.
Like YouTube, you got to watch this guy because this guy's doing this, and you guys watch this.
Yeah, tactical or like personal or whatever. And you know, it's helped me out a lot. My halftime speeches are fucking awesome now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot more confident when I do that. Definitely able to suppress the memories of being made fun of and harassed as a high school and grade school kid, you know, because you have those moments of vertigo
mm-hmm.
whenever the moment's on you, and you like you feel like all the past memories of moments like this, and you're like, oh, this never turned out well, Jason. What are you doing? What are you doing right now? This never worked well.
Mm-hmm.
You wore the captain's armband, and all the kids were like, you're not the captain. Shut the fuck up. And now you're a coach? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that you can make money doing that, but it's a lot of fun. I like coaching a lot. I don't know if the end game is coaching or comedy. I'm just kind of like investing as much time as I can into both. It makes sense, and maybe one will prevail.
Man, it's like not having a kid, you're able to do that.
Maybe I'll end up as a district attorney, somewhere, you know?
In a good old boy network?
Yeah, in a good old boy network.
You're like, oh, he used the magic words.
Hey, would you plead this down to a non-moving violation?
Man.
You were in possession of a Mandingo dildo.
But I need that money because I need to take my girlfriend to Casa Casa, so she'll fuck me later. You know what I mean? So if we don't get this guy's speed trap money,
right?
Like that sure isn't going to happen. So he better not say these magic words on us. Otherwise, we're not just going to roll him out. Did he notice the fringes on the American flag? Motherfucker, I told you about that. That's obvious. That's maritime law. Yeah, everyone knows
every
that.
Every soccer game that we go out to, the kids walk out and they hold the American flag and it has gold fringes on it, and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
So much.
That's a parody of the American flag. Eric Hollerback, Jason Dormandy, all in caps. That is a parody of what I am, my free men, birthed from my natural mother, endowed by God with certain rights.
I am a sovereign being, a child of God. Whatever the fuck that YouTube video told me to say.
What was the legalese, though, there?
In capitis diminutio maxima.
And what does that mean? That sounds like a magic spell.
Yeah, it basically is.
In capitis diminutio?
Diminutio.
Diminutio.
Diminutio. I don't know Latin that well.
That just means you capitalize my name. Suck my dick.
Yeah, basically. I guess.
I see your trick, you wizard alien.
Yeah.
I watch YouTube. Oh, I bet when you blink, it's sideways now.
Do you really believe in aliens? Or is that
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know anything. I've never seen an alien. I've never been probed. I've had fingers in my butt from doctors and girlfriends. But what I will say is, I don't know. I don't know anything. My degree is in screenwriting, so I can tell a good story, but I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, if any of it's real. I don't know. I've seen every YouTube video from the World Bank whistleblower saying that there's aliens in the IMF. That's what she says. Her name's Karen Hudes. I talked to a guy on my podcast called Andrew Bishago who said he time traveled to Mars. I don't know what the hell that means, but I talked to him on YouTube. I don't know if it's really 50-50 for me if anyone's talking shit, making up stuff for attention, or if they're real. I have no idea. Because I know I'm a moron. anyone who says that, oh, I know that this is all fake because how would they possibly? That's so stupid to me. Because I don't know how they would possibly do a heart transplant, but they do it.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me that they take one guy's heart out and put it in some other guy and it works. What does that mean? I don't know. Are there aliens? I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm really agnostic. I have no idea. Is there God? I don't know. He's probably not a fucking
smart enough
pedophile
smart
like
enough
all the popes are.
Yeah.
You know? And then the Dalai Lama is saying that he's not going to reincarnate anymore.
Yeah,
what is that about? That's weird. He's just in this... John Rose yelling at people across the street.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's all we need for now. This has been episode 138, I think, of Highway Motherfucking Diaries in the Bag. Thanks to my guest, Jason Dormandy.
Thanks, man, for having me.
He's got a storyteller show coming up October 25th.
Yeah, it's called The Rundown.
I think I just shamed you to be on that. I think he booked me because I shamed him.
We'll talk about that later.
Off air, he's going to say, hey, you're not, please don't show up. Please don't show up. Please don't show up. I don't want my name associated with you anymore. I got some things coming up. October 13th, Theater of the Deranged 2 comes out on Blu-ray. That's with Troma. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.
Granny
it's
porn.
My fucking movie. Check out some granny porn because it's hot. Check out some grandpa dad porn because it's hotter. And what else? My next Sunday roast battle at the La Nuit happens October 18th, 2015 at the La Nuit Comedy Theater. And be nice to each other, you know, hug each other, put your fingers in each other's prostates because it feels good. And why not? Anything else? Did I leave anything out?
Is that the law of the land now?
I think so. I think I wrote a new constitution.
Did you ask me to enter into a contract? Is that what being part of this podcast is about?
It's a contract that
because please let me know, because if I need to know all the terms before I agree to any fingers in the ass.
The terms are, I'm going to put my fingers in your ass now. Later, I'll tag you in the post of this on Facebook. Maybe on Twitter as well. I don't know. Do you agree to those terms? As a free man?
No.
Jason Dormandy, all caps.
No. No fingers in the ass.
Come on, man.
I'm a Christian.
Feels good.
No fingers in the
it's
ass.
It's just
dude.
Physical and mechanical at this point. There's no emotion in it. It's mechanical.
No. It's for your sake. I had a lot of sriracha with my taquitos earlier.
Oh, spicy. All right. Later, everybody.